He's risen! He is risen! He is risen indeed. What a powerful video. You know, in the hearts and the minds of the disciples, they were on a road headed to Jerusalem, and they'd spent 3.5 years with the Lord. They'd seen incredible miracles. Withered hand healed, a woman bent over for 18 years, and another woman with an issue of blood dramatically healed. They'd seen multitudes and crowds fed, 15,000 people. It was 5,000 men, not including women and children. And even if there was a wife and one child or more children, there's multitudes of people who were fed, and deliverances came. And with every step, the Pharisees and the priests got more upset. But they were with their Lord, and it was incredible. And then Judas led people to a garden in the middle of the night and betrayed him with a kiss. They led him away. 6 illegal trials. He was beaten, he was scourged, he was spat upon, he was mocked, he was jeered. And then they led him away to Golgotha, and he was horrifically crucified. They took the body down to Nicodemus, and Joseph of Arimathea begged for the body of Jesus. They laid him in a new tomb in which no person had yet laid. And they did what they could to do their form of embalming, if you will, or wrap the body with spices, 100 pounds of spices. And they had to rush because Sabbath was shortly there. The disciples watched, some of them closely, him die on that cross. And they heard him say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They lay him to rest, and the stone is rolled across their grave. And now, Peter's full of shame, denied him 3 times. They're in a room waiting, praying, weeping, crying, and trying to figure out what's next, because the enemy had done his best to put a halt to the good news that Jesus had brought. But then, a new morning came. But then, a new day. And we find then a lady named Mary Magdalene who comes early to the tomb before the break of day to seek him early. Now listen to the scripture, because we see a living example of this fulfilled. The Bible says in Proverbs 8 verse 17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall what? Shall find me." Out of the Passion Translation, "I will show my love to those who passionately love me, for they will search and search continually until they find me." Now, the New King James and others translates the King James word "early" into this "diligently." But the Hebrew word literally means to dawn, to be up early, with the perspective of earnestness and searching with painstaking effort, seeking diligently, early, even in the morning. Let's see how this works. John 20. If you want to turn to John 20, I'm going to spend the rest of my time outside of another verse or two. Most of my time will be in John 20 this morning, the resurrection chapter, if you will. Starting in verses 1 and 2 of John 20. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been rolled away from the tomb early before the break of day." Just feel it with her, will you? Her heart is literally pounding out of her chest. Can you imagine? And many of you have had the death, a passing of a spouse, and though you understand they may die or they probably have died in faith, you know where they are, you have that assurance, you still have a broken heart. And your heart is passionately beating, and perhaps the three-letter word that goes across your heart and mind is the word, why? But the pain of missing that person you love. What was Mary Magdalene feeling? Then she ran and came to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Mary Magdalene. A lot of things are said about Mary Magdalene, most of which are not true. There is nowhere in the Bible where it declares Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. The Bible tells us out of Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala, a community on the Sea of Galilee or Lake Tiberias, that she had been delivered from 7 demons. She had been delivered. She was set free. How many think that once you're set free, you're full of gratitude toward the Lord? This Lord who loved her and set her free and washed her clean in freedom from her sins was delivered by His grace and mercy. And the Bible says, out of her being set free, she followed Him. And she was one of many women of substance who were with the Lord and His disciples who provided for Him out of her means. So she had been forgiven. She was a disciple. She was free from torment and shame and sin, because you know that sin has torment. Anybody ever be beaten up by sin? Some of you are too good to admit it, I know. But you get beat up by sin where you go, oh, dopey me, I shouldn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have said this. I wish I hadn't done it. And it's hard to get rid of that shame. And yet Jesus says, I'll deliver you. So the Bible tells us that she's coming on her way to the cross. By the way, you've got to understand that she didn't expect to see a living Jesus. She came to the cross probably to finish the job that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea weren't able to finish. She didn't expect to see him alive. She just wants to be with him. But the stone is rolled away. But he's not there. She runs to find Peter and John. This is no casual deal, you guys. This is the one she had given her life to, the one she loved most, the one her heart was so full of gratitude, and she runs to go tell Peter and John, he's not there. His body's not there. She's passionate to find him. Might I encourage you every day, make it your priority to seek him and fellowship with him in sweet prayer and communion, morning, noon, night, take time with Jesus, the one you love. And she was running to meet him and now running to tell about him. And now Peter and John need to know where he is. John 20, verses 3 through 10. John 20, 3 through 10. Peter, therefore, went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter. I got to love it. It's his book. He can say anything he wants, right? John can write anything he wants. I beat him in the foot race. Anyway, they ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he, John, did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. You love Peter's boldness. It's possible John held back out of reverence, or perhaps a bit of timidity, we don't know. But we know that Peter was absolutely bold. So he comes, goes right in, and that gives confidence to John to do the same. They went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. I'm reading from the New King James this morning. And he saw and believed. He saw and believe. Come on, church, boom it out. He saw and believe. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, though Jesus had tried to tell it. Then the disciples went away again. Where did they go? To their own homes. Now, John's heart passion, again, might have gotten to the tomb first, but Peter's boldness took them into the tomb. There's a couple of things I want you to really see, and this is important. Please note that Peter and John were together. John didn't reject Peter, though Peter blew it. Now, you don't have to look around in the family of God or the congregation of God, but every single one of us in this place blow it from time to time. That's not a negative faith. That's simply reality of who we are. We need Jesus every single day. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
We need him every day. But we also need to make sure that we don't reject one another if there's an issue or if there's a problem or if there's a sin. Grace and love covers a multitude of sin. Say amen or oh my.
Amen.
We all need that everyday grace that covers a multitude of sins. So they were together. They covered each other. That's the way the family of God works. In fact, John was the son of thunder, who then became known as the apostle of love. Don't you love how Jesus changes our lives?
Yeah.
Together, they come to the tomb. They see the linen cloths and the handkerchief that had been around his head, folded together in a place by itself. By the way, teenagers, just like your mom says, if Jesus could take time to make his bed before he rose, you can do the same. Oh, I'm sorry, there's only a couple of teenagers in the room here this morning. By the way, they say a grave robber may have taken Jesus. How many grave robbers would unwrap the body, take the time to wrap the body, the material, the spices, glued that material to his body? How many of you think would have taken the time to unwrap that body, then steal the body, but not take the valuable linens? Doesn't make sense, does it? They wouldn't have taken that kind of time. By the way, part of his miracle, realize Jesus supernaturally raised up right through those grave cloths. Remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he came out wrapped and bound and he said, unwrap him. Didn't have to say that about Jesus. But notice, real quickly, Peter and John go home. Loving hunger presses for more. Watch the scripture. You can hear Mary's heart. You can just hear Mary Magdalene's heart. You guys want to go home, that's fine. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm staying until I find him. Have you ever had a time and a need so deeply in your life that you said, I'm meeting with Jesus. I'm staying right here until I hear from him. By the grace of God, Lord, speak to my heart. I'm not moving until I hear from you. That's Mary Magdalene's heart. John 20:11-13. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. By the way, just a quick aside, this was referred to in Robert Morris's message this morning, but it's true according to commentaries and perspectives as well. What this is dealing with is one angel at one side, one angel at the other, and if you refer back to the Ark of the Testimony, God was in between the two hovering angels and the wings. And so that's just an aside. That takes you to your Bible to study a little more. It's pretty fascinating. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Now, how many think they knew why she was weeping? But they're trying to arrest her attention. Why are you weeping? She said to them, listen to the heart. Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. You think there was anything passionate burning in her spirit? I need to know where he is. I want to find him. I want to know where Jesus is. Is there anything in your heart that drives you forward when it's time to gather with other believers and you come to church with other disciples in the Lord and you say, I want to see Jesus. I want to hear him. I know he's in me, but I want to know what he's doing this morning. I want to hear from him. I want to see him because I love him and I want to be so conformed to his image. I want to be just like him even more. How many want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
It's one of the reasons we gather in the house of God. The word weeping in the Greek is the word kilo. Can you say that with me? Kilo. And it means to sob, literally. She's wailing aloud. We love him because he first loved us, and Mary's simply showing it. She's literally sobbing. And then, by the way, when you cry out to Jesus in your hunger and in your need, how many know God's going to meet you? Yes. Her heart's driven by hunger for him and to see it. And she doesn't just stay there weeping. She puts effort. She bends down, stoops in, and takes a look. Sometimes our heart, if we don't have all the answers we need, we still take the effort. We don't run away from the family of God. We don't run away from Jesus because life's been tough. We run to him and we put a little effort into it. We're not saved by works, but we cooperate with him. We don't stay away from the Word of God. We go to the Word of God. We don't stay away from church because somebody hurt me once. We press into the people of God. We cover one another in love. We grow and we say, oh God, speak to my heart. It's in your atmosphere, in your presence, that I believe you will speak to me through the Word of God. She begins to get some answers. The angels ask why, and she says, because someone has taken my Lord. I don't know where he is. But you notice in the scriptures, she senses somebody is beside her. But in her grief, she doesn't recognize Jesus. When we get so caught up in our care, we can't always see him. Come on, church. When we get so caught up in that which creates the anxiousness and the despair and the discouragement in us, we can't always see him. And that's why he said, even again this morning, set aside those cares and know that I'm here for you. He's there. Do you know this morning, no matter who you are, that Jesus knows you and he hears your cry? John 20, verses 14 through 16. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, I love this. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away. That's not Western mind, rational mindset speaking there. As a mature man, he may have been 200 pounds. You had another 100 pounds of spices. I'm just going to carry him away. Well, maybe not. But that's love talking. And Jesus said to her, what? Come on, what did he say? Come on, what did he say? Jesus said to her, Mary. She says, Rabboni. There were three levels of rabbi and Rabboni terms. This is the most endearing one. Rabboni. In the speaking of her name, she saw her Jesus. And her eyes opened. And I'm here to say to every single one of you sitting here this morning, he knows you and he's speaking your name this morning. He loves you, he cares, and he's saying your name. Isn't it good to know you're not forgotten by God? Yes. But Lord, do you see what's really going on? He goes, I see it. But do you really care? He goes, I care. And he speaks your name with love. So many things we could go through, we could address this morning. But Jesus loves you. And he's speaking your name and mine. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. Now, in verse 18, we see that Mary goes and tells the disciples what's happened. Can I just give you a cool principle out of this? There are so many people who teach that Christianity berates women, treats them terribly, and makes them subservient. I think it's an absolute delight that the first one Jesus showed up to after he rose from the dead was Mary Magdalene. She goes and tells the, I don't want to be too hard, sometimes doofus guys, hey, he's risen! And they didn't get it. And you know, in that particular time, the women weren't given great credence, but God gave her great credence. Come on, listen to me. Jesus gave her great credence because he loved how she loved him. And he took the time to show up to Mary Magdalene first because she sought him early. Ladies, you have an honored, wonderful position before God. He loves you so much. Even in the Old Testament, he had Rahab, and he had Ruth, and he had great women of God, great women of renown, and the Lord loves you and cares. And he shows up to her first. I think that's really cool. Jesus reaches then his people. Now hang in here with me just a few minutes more. You got to love the fact that Jesus rises from the dead. Can I ask you, let this live a little bit. What might you have done? You know what I might have done? I might have chased Pilate down and say, "See, you jerk, you should have stood up for me." Or I might have gone back to the priests and the prophets and said, "Yoo-hoo! You were wrong, I was right."
Oh yeah.
Some of you aren't sure you want to buy into that kind of arrogant attitude, so I can see it. That's not what he did. That's not what he did. He didn't go, "Look, I told you so." What he did is he came to his own. Those who loved him. Those who were meeting behind a closed door because maybe this is going to happen to us, and full of fear and didn't quite have all the perspective yet. And he shows up to them, and he takes two who are walking on the road to Emmaus, by the way, walking away from Jerusalem because of the desperate thing that had happened. And he talks to them and he walks with them, and it's in the breaking of bread that their eyes open and they see him and recognize him. And guess what they do once they see him? He vanishes, and where do they go? Right back to the family of God. Because sometimes when life doesn't go like we think, we walk away from the family of God. And he says, "Come on back home." He reaches out to his people and he shows up to so many and his disciples in a closed off room. And then he comes to Thomas 8 days later. By the way, Thomas wasn't with him the first time he came to that room. Took him another 8 days to catch up to the glorious truth that he was alive. But God still came to the doubters. Jesus still came. He missed that 8 days of peace. But listen, this is powerful. When Jesus said, "Put your hand in my sides," etc., Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And people who say, "Oh, he's just a nice prophet, he's a good teacher," it would have been a lie for Jesus to have received that accolade and not turn it down. But he is Lord and he is God. Come on, I'm here to say, Jesus rose from the dead. He is Lord and he is God. Amen. Is he yours?
Yes.
Today, is he yours? Because
yes.
He loves you so much. He wants you to know that he's risen for you and for me. John 21 verse 19. Jesus says to all of us, say it with me.
Follow me.
Follow me. We read in the scripture in different portions of Gospels that the dead saints, some of them rose back to life at the resurrection. We know the Bible tells us that after 50 days, Pentecost came. He told them to wait until they were endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And these timid, shy men who had been scared of what had happened were literally transformed as the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Peter, who denied him, stands up and he declares the word of the Lord, and 3,000 people get saved. And the church of Jesus Christ is birthed with a resurrected Christ and a transformed people by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He is so good. They were beaten as they lived their lives, stoned, rejected, imprisoned, like their master. But they spread the message of Jesus around the entire known world. And we're here today because of the message that carried forward. There's no way they could have done it all if it was a lie. Now watch this. How many remember Chuck Colson? Watergate. Come on, do we have to do politics this morning? Watch this. I know the resurrection is a fact. What a fantastic deep thinker theologian who began prison ministries that have impacted the world before this man died. He had an incredible repentance experience. How many know if he can change, all of us can change? I feel the same thing. If I could change, all of us can change by the grace of Jesus. Watch. I know the resurrection's a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they'd seen Jesus raised from the dead, and they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it wasn't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. He's alive. Church, I said he's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He is well. He is the Son of God. He is the final sacrifice. You and I don't have to try to do this on our own. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And he reaches his hands to you and me this morning and says, I'm alive. Come with me. I've got redeeming power and grace for you. And the greatest, one of the greatest testimonies of his resurrection power was the literal transformation that happened in these men. Now, he tells us to give him away. Give him away. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples, not just a believer, but a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he's inviting you to come to him. There'll be many people right here in this room be honored to help you find that personal relationship with Jesus who loves you so much. We're not just worshiping a historical Jesus, but a Jesus who's alive. The debt is paid. The debt your sin and I demanded was paid. God the Father, as judge, when the blood was presented before him, as he listened to the accusation Satan brought against people, you're a sinner through and through, you'll never be any good. The gavel goes down and he says, it's done. It's finished. It's good enough. And you, all saints, when you give your life to Jesus, are redeemed. Amen. And the good news is, he's alive. It's finished. The debt's paid in full. Come to Jesus today. In fact, I would like to encourage you to be like Mary Magdalene. Let's run to see Jesus. Let's run to see him. Say it with me, church. Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. He is risen. One more time. He is risen. Would you stand with me? This is a day of celebration, a day of rejoicing. Resurrection Sunday. And every single day is a day of celebration because of the resurrection of Jesus. Father, we come before you today as people who know our need for you. And we pray that, Lord, you'll be exalted in our lives. We know that what you do for us and in us is good, and that you're so gracious. Lord, we thank you for doing it all for us. We come with utter, complete thanksgiving. Are you thankful, church?
Yes.
Just say thank you to Jesus right where you are. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. Musicians, would you come? We're going to finish this morning with Christ the Lord is risen today, Roxanne. And as we close, I want to finish with this one story. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, I've gone too far from him. I can't really expect him to receive me and have relationship with me. Let me just close with a beautiful story. Robert Robinson was an English clergyman who lived in the 18th century. He was a gifted pastor. He was a preacher. He was a wonderful poet and a hymn writer. But after many years in the ministry, he turned his back on the Lord and he ended up in France, indulging himself in sin after sin after sin. And one night, while he was riding in a carriage with a Parisian socialite who had recently been converted to Christ, she was interested in his opinion on a poem she was reading. And the words go like this: "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never failing, call for hymns of loudest praise." When she looked up, she noticed that he was crying. And he looked at her and he said, "What do I think of it?" In a broken voice, he said, "I wrote it. But I've drifted so far away from him, and now I can't find my way back." And the woman gently looked at him and said, "But don't you see? The way back is written right here in the third line of your poem. Streams of mercy never failing, never ceasing." And she said, "Those streams are flowing even here in Paris tonight." And that very night, he recommitted his life to Jesus. So no matter where you're at this morning, if you need to give your life to Jesus, do it today. If you need to ask him forgiveness for sin, do it today. And then receive his mercy and his grace, the grace and the love of your resurrected Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Would you raise your hands for the prayer and blessing? Just follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your mercy,
for your grace,
for dying,
being buried,
and rising again.
Lord Jesus, today I surrender to you.
I give you my whole life.
I repent of my sins.
And I receive your mercy
and your forgiveness.
Be my Lord and Savior.
And I celebrate you,
my risen Lord.
Lord, we thank you for this great day in the house of the Lord. Let these people go from here blessed and strengthened into the joy of the Lord as their strength.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one more verse: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Have a fantastic Resurrection Sunday. God bless you all.
Yes.
Amen.